Hello, bonjour, buongiorno, konnichiwa.
Sorry, what was that?
I'm speaking to our international fan base.
So where are your fans?
Welcome to This Might Be The News. My name's Rory, I'm with my friends Katie.
Hello.
And James.
Hello.
And yeah, so we've been listening to all over the bloody place. I've been looking at the data. I've been crunching the numbers.
Yeah,
and
so we had our numbers.
We had our 1,000th downloader last week. So for all that jokes about the 4 listeners, I was having you all along. There were 10. They've just been downloading it.
Look, the link's broken.
They're like, this can't be it. He can do better than that. He can do this podcast definitely can be better. So I was looking at 14 downloads in Curacao.
Where is that?
I had to look it up. Caribbean.
Okay.
Ah. So
very small population. I'm pretty sure we are the number one podcast.
People must have a lot of free time over there if they're listening to us.
Oh man, this might be the news.
Oh my.
Okay. Wow. Welcome, Katie, with
should confess, Katie is new. This is Katie's debut. Well, this might be the news.
And I'm definitely going to be sued by the end of this.
Great, I look forward to it. So, anyway, well, I think that's a great achievement. Thanks for both of your help in getting me to 1,000 downloaders. Continue listening, fans. We'll start the week like we always do, with the facts.
Facts.
The facts. What are we going to talk about this week? Well, we're going to talk about what everyone's talking about. Everywhere. Everyone's talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Grammar schools.
Yes.
Again, another sexy topic.
We're just batting them out one after the other.
Yeah, so I've been seeing it on the front pages of papers. I haven't fully got stuck in on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's strange for me. But
yeah,
I've bizarre. I know it's out there, and the rough gist I have is that they're coming back. James, do you have more information for me?
So from the half an hour of research I did,
great.
Reading
good work.
Sort of The Guardian, the BBC,
did you read like a right-wing one to balance it out?
Yeah, I think I looked at the Mail and the Telegraph and just sort of skimmed them, just saw all the normal words about, you know, whatever they're talking about. So, from what I could gather, nothing's actually, like, there's a plan. There's a lot of plans, there's a lot of ideas. Basically, Theresa May wants to lift the ban on grammar schools. So they were outlawed, I think, in the 60s because there were concerns that they basically didn't actually do what they were meant to do, and the people who were most disadvantaged weren't really helped by them, and it pulled resources away from the state schools. So basically, Theresa May wants to lift that ban and bring them back, but I haven't seen anything about like when they're going to be brought back, in what numbers. She's also talking about changing the criteria a bit so that they actually target the people who are most disadvantaged.
Okay.
That's about all I've got from it.
That sounds about right. So the Tories are trying to bring these grammar schools back.
Yeah.
No one really knows what a grammar school is. So that's one mystery that we'll never be able to answer. And from what I remember, it was the Labour lot. Blair really sort of finished off the grammar schools. He said no more new ones.
Yeah, I think
bizarrely he said you can have some new Christian schools, which is just sort of half of one and six a dozen of the other. Like, why create a different kind of specialist school? But other than that, we don't have much info.
So I like that we've got an article here and it just says, what are grammar schools?
It could just be a spelling and punctuation only school.
Just obsessed.
Obsessed. With
what is an Oxford comma? So Katie, tell me a little bit about where you were at school, and I think between us, I think I've got James, who's from a grammar, you said you went to a private school.
Yeah.
Triple private. It's the top tier.
If you think that you can relate to Katie, get out of your head.
No, I went to a state school for primary school.
Okay.
I was then tutored and coached to get into a private school with a scholarship.
Yeah.
And then I went to a private sixth form, which was actually performing arts and education, which sort of, I basically went to FAME for posh idiots.
Hence why you were so good with that accent earlier. It was...
Which accent? Oh, God, one. Yes.
Yeah. Like we had someone from the Caribbean in the room.
So with a private school, I've just got to imagine you all in booths, just being very, very private with yourself.
Like everyone has their own governess.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of was. No, you had to audition, obviously, to get into the school. And then on top of that...
What was your talent?
I used to sing, James Tiffin. And
played the spoons at the same time. That was the key.
Yeah, the funny thing is that of this private school, is a lot of people didn't have to do A levels. The education was really bad. People did a BTEC instead of A levels. I was one of the only people who did A levels, but that then meant that I was often in a class for one. Which meant that I was then private tutored.
You had your own private thing going on within the private
yeah,
school.
I was being very private, keeping it all private within the private.
Okay.
So
any privates?
I saw a lot of private parts.
That's what we all need to know. So pros and cons. Give me some pros and cons.
Of being at private school.
Yeah.
One of the main good things I'd actually say from being tutored to get into the first initial private school was that I'm still friends with my tutor. Dorothy taught me a lot.
That's your main takeaway, is that you and Dorothy stayed in contact. Like, my education went down the pan, but I've got Dorothy, we're still pen pals, so it's a win for me.
I'm just going to call the Speaker of the House of Parliament and say, hold the debate.
I think it's hard to say when you've only known one thing. So I haven't been to a secondary school that was state school, so I can't really compare. I can't think about the things that are different about it, because like you just know what you know when you're growing up. Especially as a teenager, you kind of just think that what you're living is what everyone's living, and your problems are the biggest thing in the world. So you kind of don't really think about that sort of thing. But having had friends who I went to primary school with, who've gone off in different directions, and they went to the state schools in the area, I went to a private school, I think there were certain things that, you know, didn't have as much budget for, or things like, you know, we had great school trips, we had great, you know, the shows that we put on were vast and brilliant. But then at the same time, I hated lacrosse, I had to do it all the time.
Oh my God.
How did you get through it? Tell us more about that. You must have really struggled.
Look, I just think that there were people who were actually maybe as bright or brighter than me who went to state school, and they've come out just fine.
Just fine.
So I can't really say.
You've got visions of your X Factor sad story being you playing lacrosse.
It's like a flashback, and then you're just like flat on your back.
Like Christina Aguilera, beautiful play.
So interestingly, I actually, a couple of years back, went for The Voice. Gave it a go, and I got through to like one of the final rounds before being on the show, and they basically said, what's your sob story? You had to give three sob stories.
No.
And basically mine weren't good enough. I was too, you know.
Did you mention the lacrosse?
I didn't mention the lacrosse, but I think it would have gone down the same vein of the my stories were just annoying rich girl is sat there just saying, oh, my parents moved to Hong Kong, boo hoo. So, you know, I don't think it really worked for the GP demographic that watched The Voice. It just didn't work.
I love how you're coming across today, okay? just gonna say that. So James, you went to a grammar school.
I did, yeah.
Tell me, what is a jammer school?
Drama school!
Oh, we're back again with that.
Brilliant, second racist Caribbean impression of the day. Wow. So James, what is a grammar school?
You would think I would know that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Having been to one, you would be wrong.
Okay. What do you know? What was the difference?
It's selective entry, I think. But there's a lot
they
of...
They do a quiz at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, quiz makes it sound like just quite an informal, like the quiz we're going to do at the end of this. Like, it was more of a test, I would say.
Is it tougher or easier than the quiz I do every week?
I would say it was much, much easier than the quiz you do.
Yeah.
Firstly, because there's actual answers to the 11 plus, whereas your quiz... is quite whimsical, it's sort of what you feel on the day.
Okay, right. It's good feedback.
Yeah. No,
so you're saying there's like measurable...
Yeah, there's like a tangible, this is the answer, yes or no. But right. I personally didn't think... I don't think it's a great test of like...
and
whether or not you should be going to grammar school.
Well, tell me this. Was there an eclectic mix of children at this school?
The school I went to, yeah. I would say there was a reasonable mix. I mean, look. Being perfectly honest, most people I think were from middle class backgrounds.
Mm.
But yeah, there was a reasonable amount of diversity.
Okay. And so what would be the downsides of going to one of these?
Well, I mean, the thing is, I went to an all-boys school as well, and I think it's...
Oh, here we go.
Mm-mm.
I don't know, I think this is... I've not been to, like, a mixed grammar school.
Yeah. God, that explains a lot.
But I think with an all-boys grammar school, where you've obviously got people who are all quite competitive, they've all got in, they've all passed this initial exam,
yeah,
and they all want to do well, it does foster an environment where it's quite dog-eat-dog.
It's like Wolf of Wall Street or something.
Yeah, so we're just, midget-tossing... Just find one of the smaller kids, just throw him against the wall.
A lot of chest beating. And yeah. How did you emerge from this alpha male?
No, I found a group, and I got within that. I was definitely at points. I was probably the butt of a few jokes in that group.
Yeah, I kind of imagine you as sort of like the town jester or something. Just
like a sort of a well-meaning idiot.
That's a good role to play. Not a threat.
Very non-threatening.
The big dogs need you there to be their clown.
Yeah, well, I was quite sporty as well, so that helped me. So I did a lot of the old...
Now, did they have lacrosse at the grammar school?
No, sadly, we were only a rugby and rowing school, so...
It was a different world. Couldn't relate.
You did rowing?
I did, yeah. I used to row until I was about 16, and then I was like, do you know what? Not for me. Too much work.
Yeah, a lot of blisters on the hands. But you do get nice forearms.
Did you get those? No, they haven't.
I'll write that down as another pro and con. Blisters, big forearms.
Big forearms, yeah.
I was at a secondary school. I think.
Tell us about that.
We all went to secondary school. I went to a state school. I'd say it was a bit like, I don't know, like going to Nando's. Like, I went, it was fine, I wouldn't recommend it. It's still full of my classmates. They just work there now. No, I'm joking.
If any of you are listening, I'm sure you've got very good jobs.
They're not. So I don't know. It's neither here nor there. It was absolutely fine.
Okay.
Secondary state school.
Do you feel like you achieved your potential in there?
No, but
do you think you would have if you'd gone to a grammar school?
Maybe, but I'd have been sort of inconvenienced. There'd have been someone nagging me to achieve my potential, whereas no one was fussed at the school, so I was allowed to run.
I quite like the idea though of unfulfilled potential, because you can always say things like, if I'd have wanted to, I could have done that.
Yeah, I could have been great.
Whereas if you do it and fail, then you're like, oh my god, I'm actually not as great as I thought.
Is it better to say I could have been great or I am great?
I always say that you are great, even if you're not. I am great. That is what private school teaches you. Be obnoxious.
So we've got, like a real sense of entitlement. I think we'll put that in the con list, maybe.
Yeah. So why is this controversial? Why are people saying we shouldn't bring grammar schools back?
So we watched a 4-minute video, which is going to provide the basis for our knowledge here.
Great.
But from what I could gather from that video, it kind of broadens the gap between the people who the grammar school should be targeting, who kind of need it most, and the people who actually end up going there. So it pulls resources away from the state schools, all of the best teachers end up going to the grammar school, the state school ends up under-resourced, understaffed, and the pupils there do less well. So it's like the people in the grammar school do well, but it's at the expense of everyone else.
Yeah.
Okay. Which I can understand.
It's not good for social mobility. It's not good for society in general.
Yeah.
It creates just an imbalance. So yeah, it's great for the people that go.
Yeah.
But what it does is, did you mention this, the bit about, it basically creates a second option for thrifty private school customers who would normally go to private school, go to the grammar instead. So basically it's just sort of more variety for them, more options for them, and people sort of from working class backgrounds will have the same level of opportunity.
Yeah, so it really does is it helps the kind of the middle class kids who maybe would have gone to private school anyway.
Mm. But that's only because they're going to be, you know, at 11 years old, I think you are kind of, you're not completely, how do I put this? You're all quite on the same level. You should be, as in like whether you're rich, poor.
Yeah.
You should be on the same.
You're either rich or poor in this world.
But you should be on the same level of intelligence. It shouldn't have really affected you at this point. But what they're saying is that it would have done, because people will be tutored. They will make sure that their child, if they've got money, is going to be in that grammar school. But whereas the working class backgrounds can't necessarily afford that. You can cheat for a quiz.
But that's my problem with it, is that everyone I knew who went to Diffin where I went.
Which is also your name, which is
that was, easy. That was a fun 7 years. everyone had tutoring, so they, and I was exactly the same. You went for like an hour a week for about, I don't know, 6 months a year beforehand.
With Dorothy.
No, I mean, I actually had Mrs. Walsh, Barbara Walsh, lovely old woman.
Dorothy and Barbara, what? Yeah. What decade did you two go to school?
Only women over 80 tutored 11 classes. If that's one takeaway from today, it's that. But everyone had this tutoring, and effectively, you weren't, I mean, a lot of it, it's like verbal and non-verbal reasoning. So it's basically, you'd like literally go, oh, this shape's like that shape, or this word follows that word. And that, we weren't learning it in the sense of, right, I understand why this is practical knowledge that I'm going to intake and then use later on. It was...
You knew why you were doing that.
Answer A is that. And you just, all you did was you were almost like memorising that follows that, which I don't think, that's not intelligence. That's memory recall.
Yeah, but that's GCSEs. GCSEs were exactly the same as that. I learned the answers, didn't learn what the hell chemistry was.
I agree with you. I think it's flawed.
That is life.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be. There's a lot of education systems like...
One big cheat, though, so you might as well get ready for it early.
No, but there's a lot of education systems where they do... like, I think Scandinavia is quite progressive in that respect, and they do a lot of focus on what do you actually want to go on and be?
Practical.
How can we develop the skills that will allow you to do that job?
What sick kid knows what they want to be at 10 years old?
I mean, I don't think they make them decide at 10. I think that's the point.
If you want to be a star, you want to be a star!
Oh... So many people in the room, so many characters. So I've got my own theory about all of this. And
lay it on us.
It's going to blow your mind.
I'm ready.
Every now and again, when the government's in an absolute shambles, it throws a story out there that no one really cared about.
Right.
To get everyone talking while they deal with the cock-up or push through some secret policies that we're not paying attention. So
this is a smokescreen?
This is a smokescreen. So, examples of smokescreens. The fox hunting thing. Why did we all care about that so much? They got us pumped on fox hunting. I didn't have an opinion on that until they asked me. Another thing, when the Tories came in, the Tories and the Lib Dems formed the coalition.
Yeah.
You can only imagine what a car crash, cock-up, shambles that must have been. So they released a load of stories. They started trying to overhaul the NHS. I mean, that turned into a real disaster because it's actually in turmoil now. But before, in 2010, it wasn't in crisis. They turned it into a crisis. And this is what's happening now. No one really cared about grammar schools. No one sat there going, oh, I wish they were back. Do you know what? Miss those.
But
now we're all talking about it while Brexit-geddon goes on.
I think it might also be that, like, so Theresa May's come in and she's been like, right, I need to get my stamp on this. I need to do something that people are going to be like, oh, Theresa May did that. And I think she's maybe thought people would be like, yeah, grammar schools, that's a really cool idea. And everyone's just gone, no.
She 100% doesn't have the mandate to do that because no one voted her in.
So this is another thing I read. Apparently the SNP are going to get involved. Apparently they're going to block it, even though it doesn't affect Scottish education. Apparently they're just going to be like, no. Not happening.
What do they want instead? Have they expressed...
They just don't want the ban to stay. They're like... But, and then all the Conservative MPs in England are like, why are they getting involved?
I think there's going to be a lot of people who like it. My parents would have loved it. We were in a situation where they couldn't necessarily afford to send me and my brother to private school at that point. And they'd have loved a bloody grammar school to be in there.
Oh, yeah.
It'd been brilliant. Saves them money. It's going to attract a lot of middle-class parents are going to be thinking, great. People who've got, you know, a very bright young child who can't afford that sort of thing, it's going to mean that they can then prosper, potentially.
Potentially. I mean, but just tell the kid to work harder at the bloody state school.
Well, but wasn't there a thing when our parents were growing up that they, like, it was literally the grammar school or you were doing, like, sewing and cooking?
I kind of feel like you confuse maybe like the 50s with like the Industrial Revolution or something.
Have you been reading Charles Dickens recently?
You sort of mesh two things, like you either go to school or you sew.
Or you go up a chimney.
No, that was definitely a thing that happened.
I think you've really got the vibe of the facts, so we don't like to discuss the facts here. So coming in with you are either a doctor or you will be embroidering for the rest of your life.
That was definitely a thing that happened, that they went to more, as you say... I don't know, more productive or more you know, when someone's actually going to be, right, I'll be an apprentice, or I'll do this, or I'll be a cook, or I'll be...
So more vocational focus.
Vocational, yeah. That was the word I was looking
yeah,
for.
Yeah, you're right. They brought those in grammar schools at the same time, and the idea is that you were going to, there was going to be some skills schools, some grammar schools. No one really invested in the skills schools, meaning right. that just the grammar school thing happened.
People were cooking people with air.
There were no cooks to teach the cooks. It was an absolute mess. The class was running itself.
So the head of Ofsted, Michael Winshaw, he has said he thinks that the focus should actually be on more vocational-based schools, especially with the potential post-Brexit. You know, we talked last week about basically being self-sufficient.
Yeah.
That we're going to need, you know, tailors and bakers and candlestick makers.
Ooh.
I've never had enough candles, so that would be my number
that
one.
That felt like the first line of a musical number that we were about to go into.
I feel like that's your hope, that this quiz at some point is going to break into song.
Yeah.
It isn't.
Raindrops on roses.
I'll reassure the listener there will be no more singing. So, well, we've run out of time for the facts, but I feel this one could carry on because there's a lot of open questions. What will happen? Will they actually come back?
We could do a part two when she makes the plan public.
What's your opinion on it? What would you like to see happen?
I mean, I had a great old time at the grammar school, but I can completely understand that whilst it would help someone like me, it could disadvantage a lot of other people. So I would say, for now, we've still got them, but maybe the ban should stay. You guys, thoughts?
I don't have an opinion either way, so I just think we shouldn't take our eye off the prize and make sure we know what the Tories are up to. I feel I sound like a real conspiracy theorist.
Like Mad Eye Moody, like constant
yeah, visitors. Constant visitors. I can't even say it. Anyway, that was the facts.
Task Force!
So, here we are for another week of Task Force. What am I going to ask you guys to help me with this week? Well, the government has come to me and they've said, we don't want this Philip Green character to be a knight anymore. Mm-hmm. We think he's a spiv. We don't know what he's been up to, but it doesn't sound good. However, we see more of this kind of thing coming. We've got a long list of people that are knighted. Rory, can you have a look at this and say, who shouldn't be a knight anymore? That's the task force. Basically, we want some efficiency here. We think there are a few rotten apples in the barrel. Let's get rid of them. So first of all, what happened with Philip Green? Katie, have you got any idea?
So Philip Green, he bought BHS actually before he bought the Arcadia Group, which is Topshop, Miss Selfridge, all of that lot.
Right.
So he actually bought BHS to kind of give him leverage to then buy the golden prize of Topshop. As soon as he got Topshop, obviously he took it to the nines, made loads and loads of money out of it. The Kate Moss collaboration, especially.
It's all very well known. I'm aware of Topshop. Yeah.
So he sort of got that and then realised that BHS wasn't making much money. He wasn't getting... He tried to buy Marks and Spencer's, couldn't buy Marks and Spencer's, they wouldn't let him have it.
What a greedy guts.
I know. And then decided, right, I'm just going to sell this off to a basically known bankrupt rubbish businessman and let it die.
And how much did he sell it for?
Ooh, couldn't tell you that.
£1. That would have got my suspicions.
£1?
Yeah.
I thought they were joking.
No, he sold it for a quid.
I mean, I would have bought it for that if they'd have told me it was going.
Well, don't know, it sounds like a right old mess. I think you dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, no, I don't want all that.
So then, since then, what? They're all shut?
No, they haven't. They're still going at the moment. BHS is definitely still open.
Really?
As in,
I thought they
the shop. What
I
the shops they... have shut.
I think that was the whole thing. Like the whole reason it was in the news is that BHS is no more.
Kate, you're doing so well.
No, but I thought like numbers. Things like that. It's like Licenza when it went bankrupt. It still was open. I still got some bras from there.
What was the show? Just the constant closing down sale. The DFS.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was like that.
They've been in turmoil for years.
That's what I thought. Oh, I didn't realise they'd actually... No, gone. So that's why everyone's kicking off, because they've all been unemployed and...
Yeah, so I think got it. A load of people made unemployed. I think over 10,000 people made unemployed. I think the pensions are a bit fucked. And yeah, I think all the shops shut, so everyone can't buy whatever was in BHS.
Well,
what are they selling? What are they selling?
This is my point, is that BHS... has been left to the side for a long time. If you think Marks and Spencer's, we all know the adverts, right?
What?
You know, where they do some delicious fruit.
Yeah,
and they cut it in half.
I don't think they have a jingle. It's
they do.
Like, I swear
they
it's
do.
Like a really
it's
sultry
that Jess
voice.
Glynn song.
It's like chop.
But you know that M&S Rosie Hunting Whiteley, you know, it's had a big revamp. You go then to John Lewis and you think, nice Christmas advert, I'll buy a pillow from there. You don't think of British home stores. And the thing is that's really sad about it is that it's British home stores. The clue is in the name. It's a national treasure. And it's gone. It's dead. And that is why people, I think, are up in arms.
So
they see a villain.
People are livid.
Yeah.
Philip Green's responsible. I think he bought a super yacht at the same week that everything shut down.
He seems very gluttonous. You know, he's got... Wait for this. This is my numbers. So he's got 1.2 billion... in his wife's name because she lives in Monaco. So he evades tax, which means that we have lost as a country 285 million from Philip Green. So you can see why everyone hates him. It's everyone's got their pitchforks out and they want to kill him. But I think that this whole thing is a little bit of a smoke show.
Are you, you taking my
idea? I'm taking your idea and I'm running with it. I think that it's we're distracting. We're all like a good villain. It brings people together. Everyone goes, God, that guy's awful.
Well, yeah,
we're all excited about
it. The Brexiteers and the Remainers put down their knives on the street and go, wait a minute, there's a bigger baddie here.
Exactly. And look, I think the question that no one's asking is, why the hell was he ever knighted in the first place?
It's true. It's true. Were you there when he was knighted?
Yeah, no, don't put this at my door. I was nowhere near that process.
It was the one time I'd missed the committee too.
Yeah, and this is what happened.
The committee meeting.
Elton, great. Ian McKellen, great.
They
week off, Phillips in.
They put him through. And Rolf. Was Rolf a knight?
I don't know. So I was doing some research to try and figure out who's actually been knighted.
Okay,
and,
good.
And
good
I read start. I read somewhere that he was, but then it wasn't on Wikipedia, which we all know is gospel.
Bible.
Yeah. But yeah, I read some of it was, but they've surely have retracted that now.
You can't be in prison for what he did.
Well, you can't. I think if you go to prison, surely that's like an automatic DQ, like you're out.
I think that's.
Do you not think?
Yeah.
I'm going to write that down. Task force rule number one: no criminals. We're getting rid of all the criminals. So that's the long list. Trim slightly.
Yeah.
Right. Who's been knighted? Who's
my granddad.
The big one that we're all here to talk about.
Yeah.
What's your granddad's name? Let me find him on the list.
Brian Atkin. It means that I can get married at St. Paul's. So
again, you're coming across as the most ridiculous person that we've ever had on this.
Like, I like you think there's like some man listening here who's just been waiting to get married at St. Paul's. He doesn't care who to. He's going to call in and go, I'm here, I'm ready.
If he's ready for a big parade, I'm ready. It's going to be wild.
You're definitely the kind of person who's going to sing at your own wedding.
Yeah, walking down the aisle. Sort of going, maybe doing a Dreamgirls number. And I am telling you.
Okay, let's wrap that one there. Right, so, okay, we've got the kind of the people you'd expect. So we've got, you know, your Patrick Stewarts.
Fine, allowed.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
Like, all of the British actors that you kind of wish were your granddad have all pretty much been knighted. So Michael Caine, Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart, Christopher Lee,
yeah,
Roger Moore, they're all in.
Fine.
I think we're happy with that.
Do we need, I don't know, is this going to get sued? Do we have a Might Be You Tree section of this list? As in,
I haven't.
Was involved in showbiz in the 70s. Has a twinkle in their eye.
I feel like you've ruined twinkles in eyes. Yeah. Like, I always thought a twinkle in eye was a nice thing. Like, you go, oh, he's got a twinkle in his eye. You've now made that sinister for me.
I've always felt that a twinkle is actually the little bit of light of a very dark secret.
Oh, God, we've come at this from very different angles.
Okay, well, who have you
What sort
got?
Of childhood did you have?
I mean,
that state school really got to you, didn't it?
Yeah, just a lot of Rolf Harris.
So, do you want me to say some names, and you're going to say if you think they've got a twinkle in their eye?
Oh no, I'm
now going to be our euphemism for. Twinkle. So Bruce Forsyth, twinkle in his eye.
Oh, he's got a real shimmer.
Not Brucey. Come on, not Brucey. David Jason.
Oh no, I like him. He got the honey in the bin, or whatever his song that gets the suitcase.
Did you say he's got the honey in the bin? Great. I mean, that's. a good start. I don't know how I feel about David Jason, but let's talk about some. Is there anyone controversial on this list, or is it all real safe pairs of hands?
This whole thing, I'm just finding a little bit irritating because it's like these guys who are actors, all they're doing is working. I don't understand why they should be knighted. Done bloody well, and they've worked, and they've done the next job to make money, and they've done the next job, and they're old, and they're still doing the next job, and now they're why are we knighting them?
Have they made someone who's the best chef of all time?
Yeah, so there's like scientists, there's explorers, there's economists. It's basically for an outstanding service to the country, to your profession, that's kind of how you get knighted. So it's not like, you know, we're not... Like, Stephen Mulhern has not been knighted. Neither have Anthony.
You tried saying Stephen Mulhern.
I tried to do it authentic. I regret it.
Sorry, I was swept away to the bottom floor of the Titanic, you know, there. I felt like I was in rural Ireland.
You can't actually see it, listeners, but I am doing a jig.
Please don't tell me that Stephen...
He's standing on his tiptoes and everyone's going, "Come on, Kate!"
Please don't tell me that Stephen Mulhern's even being considered. Is he?
But that's what I'm saying, is that, like, you know, him, Dick and Dom, none of these guys are on the list.
Dick, Dom, Stephen, if you're listening, don't get your hopes up. The country is not behind you.
Temper your expectations. But you are a way off.
You say that. Anton Deck got CBEs or OBEs. Yeah.
I mean, come on. If you're going to go for a double act entertainer pair... They are the first that come to mind.
No, like Morecambe and Wise.
They're the top... Well, no, they were actual comedians.
But I think they should share one, because...
I think most people consider them kind of one entity.
Yeah.
My friend's dad actually knows them quite well, and apparently they are like a real double act.
Yeah, they're
they like play golf. Whenever they like play golf, they always golf together.
If one died, would we want to take the OBE from the other one?
I think
he'd be so sad.
Yeah, like I think we'd actually need to we'd need to find him someone else.
We'd need to raise him up.
Well, we'd have to replace Deck with Dick from Dick and Dom.
Yeah, they become
Anton Dick.
They become like a three.
Anton Dick and Dom.
It'd be like, you know, when like an animal released from captivity, he just wouldn't know what to do. He'd be lost. We'd have to help him.
I feel like Ant would be fine without Deck. I don't know if Deck could cope without Ant.
Deck and Dick.
Bickle. No, so, Deck and Dick sounds a bit... I don't like that.
I just think the whole Dick thing, Ant and Dick, sounds a bit like, I don't know, something like about an anteater having a good time. I don't like it in general.
So we've actually run out of time for Task Force, and I don't really feel like we got anywhere.
Can I just say one name that I think absolutely needs to get off the knighthood list? Bono.
He's not knighted, is he?
I think he's got something, but I feel like he shouldn't have anything.
I think he's Irish, so he wouldn't be eligible.
Who would he not? No, I think he can be honorary, because there's like American stuff on here.
Oh, God.
I think he's got like an honorary something, but basically, I know he's done a lot of good, but I feel like he's one of those people, he's done it all for him. He doesn't actually care about...
Well, he has brought the yellow glasses back into fashion. They're being used in every shoot.
Are you saying that as a positive?
I don't know. I'm just saying it's a fact. Just saying Bono's 2002 glasses are back in fash.
Do you feel he's responsible for like men wearing all leather outfits?
Yes.
Is that a good thing?
I mean, it kind of means it's quite a good thing, because as a woman, you can identify idiots. He's in all leather. He's probably a pervert.
Yeah, he's not getting an invite to St. Paul's. There shall be no leather worn in St. Paul's.
I don't know. I can kind of see Bono going, 1, 2, 3, 14, and a plane lifting off as
he'd bring the certain sort of razzmatazz that your wedding deserves.
Yeah. I quite like it.
Maybe Bono could oversee the ceremony.
Yeah, Bono would be the minister. Definitely.
Wearing like a leather cloak.
And yellow glasses. And we digress.
We do. We often do, and this might be the news. But I guess it's harder than it looks to decide who gets a knighthood.
Yeah.
But thank you both for at least starting. I think we need another conversation about what to do if we lose one of Ant or Deck. That might be for next week.
I think send our apologies, obviously, to the government that we didn't crack this one.
It's fine. I'm going to write some notes on a post-it and send it to them.
Quiz?
So every week we finish with a quiz. Katie, I must say, beginner's luck plays a crucial part in this quiz, so you might do well. The rules are, I ask 5 questions. Whoever gets the most correct is the winner. say your name if you know the answer. Question number one. Who, somewhat controversially, won the Nobel Prize for Literature this week?
Bob Dylan?
Correct. 1 point for James.
Can I also add a bonus fact?
You can, it will get you no points.
Well, I'm going to do it anyway. The committee, I'm not sure, but they basically haven't been able to get in contact with him.
Yeah, he's not fussed.
Yeah.
He's never has anyone been so unfussed about winning something.
Classic Bob.
Right. Katie's shocked about the pace of this. Question number two. Who accidentally ran over his wife this week?
Southampton, Katie.
What?
Isn't that you're doing a university challenge?
Well, who?
I don't know. I just wanted to say the university challenge thing.
I like that. I had a joke, so I did that.
Well, who did? I don't know.
Are
we going to hazard a guess?
Yeah, I think it's worth a guess.
Oh, I'm going to give you a clue. It was a football manager.
Ooh, James. Was it Harry Redknapp?
It was Harry Redknapp.
It just feels like a Harry Redknapp thing to do.
That's such a Harry Redknapp.
How did this happen?
That's the most Harry Redknapp thing he's ever done. I don't really, again, how I read the news is just scanning the Daily Mail headlines. So, I have no more details, but so a photo of her with some crutches and him looking quite sheepish. Embarrassed. Question number three. Why is a woman suing KFC for £16 million?
Southampton, Katie.
Sure.
Did someone spit in her food?
No.
James?
Yep.
Did she get really fat from eating KFC and is now like saying she didn't realise that would happen and she's suing them for like obesity?
No, it's quite the opposite. Her family bucket wasn't filled up to the top.
And that's 16 million that's worth, is it?
What?
Again, I wish I had more details.
I'm going to Google this after. Yeah. This needs...
Google that one, because that's interesting. Question number four. How many women now have alleged sexual misconduct against Donald Trump?
James?
Yep.
I want to say seven?
No.
Too high?
Too low.
Southampton, Katie?
Yep.
54.
Too high. It was 11 at the last count, 8 hours ago. Okay, so going into the final question, James is in the lead with 1 point.
Damn it.
This is a celeb goss question. So,
oh no.
Come on.
How long did Cheryl's divorce take?
Southampton, Katie.
Yep.
I'm going to say it's probably been the best part of a year.
No, the actual process.
Oh, the actual process is in the courtroom? The
proceedings, yeah.
10 minutes? Was it a quick one?
No.
James?
Yeah.
I'll go the other way. Like a week.
14 seconds.
What?
14 seconds. She moves quickly.
That is in and out. That is...
In and out.
Woo!
Was that as long as the marriage or...?
Slight.
Burn!
I guess it was. It was a reflection of the short nature of the marriage too. Well, congratulations, James. Is that 2 weeks in a row?
No, I feel like Soph... I think Soph won last week.
Okay.
Because it was her debut win.
Okay.
But I'm back on top.
Yeah, the comeback kid. Well, thank you both. Katie, this has been an interesting debut guest appearance. I feel like I've learned more about you than I knew going into it.
Mum.
And thank you, James, as
perfect.
Always.
You finished on that.
And good night in Kurikawa.